that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has leased the Gulfstream jet at a cost of more than $700,000 since January. In New York, in a speech, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani said that the nation lacks an energy policy. Without criticizing President Bush by name, he said greater reliance on nuclear power, ethanol-based fuels, and hybrid vehicles was more realistic than independence from foreign energy sources. You are listening to the Quality News Network. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Former President Clinton earned nearly $7.5 million in speaking fees last year. At some appearances, he took home as much as $350,000. According to tax returns, since leaving the White House, the Clintons have become multimillionaires. The House Appropriations Committee has voted for a boost in the federal minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25. That would be the first increase in a decade. House lawmakers have given themselves a $3,300 a year raise. A congressional salary will now be $168,500. The 2% cost of living hike is the seventh straight for members of Congress. Consumer inflation was up in May, largely due to increased gasoline prices. The Labor Department reports that the Consumer Price Index rose 0.4%. The International Trade Commission has launched an investigation into whether Apple Computer's iPod music player infringes on a patent by Creative Technology. The latest trend in self-service is a vending machine that carries pricey electronic gear, including iPods and digital cameras. They're called Zoom shops, and the kiosks are already located at 100 hotels, airports, and malls around the U.S., with more on the way. Light sweet crude settled at $69.14 a barrel today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 111 points, and the Nasdaq was up 14 points. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean stride.
Right, it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Bruce Birch, and welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Man, what an interesting trip I just got off of. My gosh, and it wasn't chemical either. It was the actual real, on the highway, rubber on the road kind of trips. Just got back from the Taking Back America Conference up in Washington, D.C., and got a lot of thoughts about the entire event and some of the things that happened up there and some of the people that were there. I also have an interesting bunch of news releases from a certain organization that is here in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina. The Southern Baptist Convention is here and making all kinds of whacked out decisions, and just want, you know, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to a lot of different things today here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. The first thing I'd like to do, though, is sort of, this is the first one that I've done from here in Greensboro. So I'm feeling kind of, I'm really happy to be back in town and back from the home studio here broadcasting and bringing you great programming from the Head On Radio Network. The show itself is carried, as you are listening to it, on the Head On Radio Network, and it's also being archived at the White Rose Society over at Ben Birch's website, whiterosesociety.org. And also the show, as it is being heard right now, is being sponsored by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Those guys are building the American dream, driving nails one at a time, man. So, you know, they're doing a wonderful, wonderful job of supporting our radio network and trying to help bring freedom and democracy and constitutionality back to the United States of America. That's what they're doing. So they're building the houses we live in, and we're building the framework of rebuilding, I should say, the framework of our Constitution right here on the Head On Radio Network. So I just got back about, two in the morning. From Washington, D.C., I did the show last night, 5 to 8. By the way, just as a programming note, the program, if you're hearing this on podcast, if you're hearing this as an archive, if you want to listen to the show live, you can come to headonradionetwork.com and click on Listen Live between the hours of 5 and 7 p.m. Eastern. That would be 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific. To listen to this radio program live and participate via telephone or email, which I will give you those particulars in a moment. And right after me at 7 o'clock tonight, now the last two shows that I did, I was on the air from 5 to 8 because I was at a special event up in D.C., and we wanted to run an extra hour just to sort of get some interviews in and give you a flavor of what was going on there. But normally this radio program runs from 5 to 7. So, yeah, you know, tune in from the hours of 5 to 7. Then directly following me from the wild, wonderful mountains of West Virginia, our good friend Bob Kincaid will be on air live with his program, Head On with Bob Kincaid. And I'm sure he'll be doing his fair share of ripping the Baptists apart tonight, too. They're just, you know, they're such fair game. I mean, I pick everybody apart, you know, and today we're going to do a little bit of both. We're going to do some of the folks on the left. We're going to do a little bit of some of the folks on the right. So everyone is fair game as far as I'm concerned. If you want to get on the radio program, you can do that. Let's give you the number again. John, our good friend John Fox, who is the announcer of this program, did that at the top of the hour, but I'll do it again right now. 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me. Now, you know, thank God the spammers can't get my email address over the radio as easily as they can online. Or I don't know what I'd be getting. But you can email me by emailing bruce@brucebirch.com. And if you also want to go and read the show post for today, if you want to find out what's going on in every show, go to brucebirch.com or headonradionetwork.com, and you can comment on the show post that I have posted there for your perusal. Now, getting on to the meat of the program. You know, this is the first one, as I said, this is the first one that I broadcasted here from Greensboro of the new time slot, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out. I am very much committed to making this a reality every day from 5 to 7. I know most of you folks are on your way home on the East Coast, and you're not hearing me at this point, but that's okay. When you get home, tune in as you're listening to dinner or cooking dinner or whatever it is you do whatever. Tune in, 5 to 7. This is the time slot for Bruce Birch from now on. Now, I got back about 2 in the morning, listened to Mike Malloy's show last night on the Air America Radio Network. And really interesting conversation about Karl Rove's situation. And Karl Rove, as you all know, if you've listened to me before, is one repugnant son of a gun. He really is. I mean, this guy, you know, he is the architect of the Republican strategy, which is basically, you know, don't hit above the belt and don't hit below the neck. So no body blows, but you can, you know, go for the jugular, and you can also go for the, you know what. So Karl Rove, apparently, according to his attorney, Karl Rove was not indicted. Well, the folks over at truthout.org are still sticking to their story. Jason Leopold, apparently, and the editor over there as of yesterday, I haven't looked into this a bit today. They may have changed their tune by now. I don't know. I'll have to look and see on the break. But yesterday they were saying that, you know, that they think he was still indicted. They think they're standing by their story. They say their sources are airtight, that there is no possible way that he wasn't indicted. And while, you know, attorney Robert Luskin, Karl Rove's hired gun, has come out and said, yes, he's not indicted. We got a phone call, and then Patrick Fitzgerald, good old Pat, is sitting in the middle there and not saying anything. Interestingly enough, though, you know, Patrick has a history, if you will, of being pretty hard on Democrats in Chicago. So, and this was, you know, according to Sheldon Drobny, who was an attorney and who lives in Chicago and apparently has litigated against Patrick on a number of occasions. He says that Fitzgerald himself is pretty hard on Democrats and likes to give Republicans a pass when he can. And, you know, what blows my mind is that he had the old porcine pig-headed, you know who, Rovinator there. He had him before the grand jury five different times, and in all those five times he gave Rove plenty of chances to change his story, plenty of chances to amend his testimony. Are you sure that's what you thought? Are you sure that's what you heard? Because if you really think that's what you heard, we're not sure if that's quite what we really want to clarify this, Mr. Rove. You know, because if you really said this, if this is what you really said, then you just might want to think about you just might want to. Okay, you get what I'm saying, don't you, Mr. Rove? We don't think your testimony is going to be helpful to you. You may want to change it. Now I don't know. That's what happened. I don't know that's what happened in that grand jury room, because I wasn't sitting there in the grand jury room in the District of Columbia where, you know, the we don't know, you know, we don't know for sure what happened there, but we know that the makeup of any jury in Washington, D.C. surely is going to be fairly Democratic, because, I don't know, 93% of them voted against George Bush. So, I don't know. You know, the prosecutor, I don't know. I mean, this is really turning out to be sort of a carnival of mythic proportions, just to, you know. I would much rather, though, it's I would, you know, in my mind, I would much rather that he had gone the route of the Ken Starr witch hunt. Just go ahead and charge the bastard. Go ahead and charge him. And let's see what, and then let the pine needles shake out of the tree, as they say, and land where they're going to be landing. Anyway, so my take on it is this: I'm going to tell you. Here's what my take on the Rovian morass is that I'm going to stand back and watch and see what happens. I think that I think as I listened to those guys talk last night, my understanding, if you will, is that perhaps Rove and perhaps Fitzgerald and perhaps the rest of the Republicans, because, you know, Fitzgerald is a Republican, by the way, perhaps they, you know, operate from the oldest tenet of mankind, which is take care of your own. Look after your own. And why would that change now? Okay. So those of you who had hope for Rove and hope for Fitzgerald would do the Fitzgerald would do the right thing. You know, I certainly I feel bad for you at this point. I don't know that he's going to. You know, I don't know that he's going to. I'm going to take the cynical route here and say that perhaps he probably won't do the right thing because, after all, he is another Republican. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. If you wanted to get in on the program, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back, and we'll start talking about some of the other things that have been going on today. We'll be right back.
Mold a new reality closer to the heart. Closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Radio program. Glad to be back on the air with you this afternoon. It's a really wonderful sunny day here in Greensboro, North Carolina, where the Southern Baptist Convention is going to be reconvening this evening at about 6:30, and they're going to talk about a bunch of different things. And I've been looking over some of their press releases this week, and or this since I got back, and it's just sick, some of the things that they're talking about. It really is. And some of the pandering that they're doing to try to create more community within their bigoted ranks. Now, if you're a Baptist, and I certainly hope that you're an open-minded Baptist if you're listening to this. I know there's probably some liberal liberal Baptists out there. Let's certainly hope there are. I really struggle with these folks. And the reason why I struggle with them is this. All right, you know, I mentioned to someone else today, you know, I was talking about, that if you look on the show post, look on the front page of brucebirch.com or head on radio network.com, and you'll see that, something that I wrote there related to this. And, I got up this morning, I got in real late last night, and I got up this morning and I said, I did that, like this. And something didn't smell quite right in Greensboro. It just something didn't smell quite right. And the reason why I say that is because I sensed, if you will, this ominous presence in the air here locally. And sure enough, the Southern Baptist Convention, 18,000 members strong, we're still here, and probably about the time that I rolled out of bed this morning, somewhat late because I got in, in the wee hours of the morning, probably about the same time Condoleezza Rice was addressing the convention. And, I listened to some of the stuff that she had to say. If you want to check out some of the clips, you can go to, actually, I think there was, where did I get that clip? I'm trying to remember where I got it. May have gotten it from canoffun.com. You can go check it out there. But, some of the things that she had to say were just downright, crusader-like, crusaderish. She referred to Iraq and she said something about, we want to preserve the right of people to express their faith around the world. Meanwhile, the Baptists who came to town were running all over Greensboro proselytizing and trying to save people. Oh my God. I'm thinking, okay, now this is Greensboro. Now, for those of you who don't know about Greensboro, is a fairly progressive city. I mean, it's there's a lot of progressives here. We have a huge blogging community here that really try to express, progressive ideas and these guys, these Baptists, these people, these evangelists came to our, now listen, I'm not anti-religion. Okay, well, maybe a little bit I am. I'm not totally anti-religion. I think that the expression of one's faith is totally within the purview of that individual's choice and decisions. And I think that everyone should have free choice in those areas. It's not about the struggle that I have with the Baptists is the same struggle that I have a lot with the Jehovah's Witnesses or, the Catholic Charities or the Muslims or whoever. It's all the same struggles. To me, it's all the same struggles. And the struggle is these folks seem to want to push their religion on everyone else. They're not content with people showing up to their churches and saying, I think I like it here. Maybe I'll stick around for a little while. Go down to the altar call and flop out on the floor and go, whatever it is they do. They're not content with that. A lot of these religions, a lot of these churches, they want to go out and witness. Gotta go witness. And tell people, about how their struggles have gotten better since they found the good Lord Jesus Christ. And that's fine if if you want to go out into your community no, it's not. Okay, let me just take that back. And the struggle that I have is, the biggest struggle that I have with it is that, we have a situation with a lot of these churches that they seem to like to, instead of helping people, not all churches now, not all churches. And I know that I'm going to get a phone call and go, you're really overgeneralizing. And that's quite possible. I'd love to have a phone call that tells me that, because we could have a realistic conversation. But a lot of these churches tend to tie their religious proselytizing to helping people. And when people are in a situation where they need help, and their pride's already damaged because they got to go out and they're not self-reliant, and they got to go ask for help, you know, the church wants to see that as an opportunity. Well, they're coming to us for money. They're coming to us to help them with their bills. They're coming to us to help us with our, you know, because they're homeless or they're jobless or they're penniless, whatever it is, they're coming to us to help. So we need to take this wonderful opportunity and shove religion down their throats. Okay, so now you know how I really feel. All right, you know, if you really want to help, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to help and you're religious and you really want to help, please do it in a non-proselytizing manner. Don't take advantage of some people's, you know, misfortune and use that as an opportunity to push your religious beliefs on them. I mean, that's exploitative. You're exploiting a situation when you do that. I know we're going to take a break here in a few minutes. That's always a short segment, that second one in the hour, in the half-hour block. You are listening to the Bruce Burke Radio Program. It's 28 minutes past the hour. If you want to get in on the show, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4, head on. You can also send an email, bruce@bruceburke.com. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. So Bush jets into Baghdad with a steep and winding descent so his plane can't be hit by insurgent fire, and he gives Prime Minister Maliki all of a 5-minute heads up that he's in town before arriving at his door. That doesn't really inspire confidence that Iraq's a safe place to be, or that the U.S. is on the road to success there. Bush's Iraq visit, like his Camp David get-together, was more for show than anything else. He's trying to give the appearance that the situation on the ground is improving and that the new Iraqi government is in control, but these are wishes, not facts. The insurgency remains strong and is now spreading to Basra. The attacks continue to mount, and the U.S. presence in Iraq remains a lightning rod. But Bush won't reduce that presence very much, even though Maliki wants the troops out in 18 months. U.S. officials have started to backpedal on the notion that the Pentagon can draw down troop levels from 133,000 to 100,000 in the near term, and U.S. officials expect 50,000 troops to remain in Iraq for many years to come, according to the New York Times. It's not about what Maliki or the Iraqis want. It's about what Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld want, and they want oil, and they want permanent U.S. bases to guard that oil. That's why Republicans in Congress quietly deleted in conference committee an amendment that both the House and the Senate had passed that would have banned funds for permanent military bases there. Bush may have been in Baghdad just for a few hours, but he wants U.S. troops to be there for many, many years to come. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
You're back on the Bruce Burke radio program, broadcasting to the four corners of the earth and beyond. That's right, we're streaming world freaking wide at the Head On Radio Network website. You can go to headonradionetwork.com and pick up the stream there. I'd like to also remind you that Ben Birch over the White Rose Society is having a fundraiser. So if you do have an extra few dollars or an extra 20, man, shoot it to him. And that guy has done a fantastic job in trying to help create community by archiving many, many progressive and liberal radio programs there on his website at whiterosesociety.org. Now, if you go over to his website, the first thing you'll see is a little thermometer, one second, please. A thermometer, yes. There's a thermometer on the front page of his website with a little blood red thing going up there. And I think that if you are so inclined, just go ahead and shoot him a few bucks, man. He could really use it. And Ben has been very now. Ben and I are not related. Okay. Matter of fact, when I was doing the radio program with Guy James in Washington D.C. You know, Guy says to me, when I told him I was born in Virginia and raised in Southern Virginia, he says to me, how is Jim your brother, or how is Ben your brother then? And I said, he's not my brother. And he goes, oh, huh. So if you think that Ben is my brother, he is my brother spiritually, and he is my brother in the struggle. But as far as blood, we're not related, although I would claim him. All right, we're going to go over to the phones. We have Jim on line. What line is that, 72? Jim on line 72. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bruce. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better, man.
All right, I want you to just pronounce this word. It's a blood pressure cuff. Sphygmomanometer.
say it again.
Sphygmomanometer.
Sphygmomanometer.
Anyway, just play. How was
pick up your what?
I beg your pardon. No, my blow up doll's still here.
Sphygmomanometer.
Sphygmomanometer.
Sphygmomanometer. All right.
So next
dude, I feel almost like I should go to voice classes or something. Now.
Could,
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like one of those pick, you know, those things. You know, it was words. It always kind of does not roll easily off the tongue. But how was
yes.
D.C.?
D.C. was D.C. Actually, it was...
did y'all
it
drive
was, yeah, I drove up. I live right off of U.S. 29 here in Greensboro, and so I just went... Instead of going up the interstate, I went straight up 29, and you know, a large part of my childhood was spent in Southside Virginia. Around
okay, so you know the city
South
pretty
Central
well.
Virginia. Oh, yeah, so it was great. You know, it was great driving up and driving back.
I'll tell you, I-20 is just mind-blowing. Or I-95.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be the worst stretch of road that God ever put on the face of the earth.
I really hate it. I hate going through Richmond. I really hate it. I would prefer going up 29 than heading into D.C. on 66.
So y'all were in Northern Maryland?
Yeah, well, we were right outside of D.C. in Greenbelt.
Oh, okay.
Was where we stayed, but
okay.
We went on into D.C. I drove into town and parked there in the parking garage, which, by the way, I mean, $23 a day is a discount.
You do the park and ride deal?
No, I just drove all the way into the hotel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We carpooled in.
Did y'all go in, so. Like, go down Mass Ave and hang a ride on Connecticut?
Yep.
That's exactly what I did.
There you go. Just go to get to Mass Ave by going to First Avenue, and then that'll Pennsylvania take you there. You go by the Capitol and the Supreme Court. You know, I was just thinking, I was just listening to stuff about Sakali, and they think that a new millennium is going to dawn because Sakali is gone, okay? Or supposedly. But, you know.
You mean the right wing thinks this?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're touting his denouement as, you know, oh, wow, it's just going to be such a severe blow to Al-Qaeda. But, you know, Bruce, what they forget, and Clemenceau of France said this, cemeteries are filled with indispensable people.
That's very true.
And I'll tell you what, my dad used to tell me, he said, son, said, you know, get a glass of water, stick a pencil in it, and you pull it out, show me where the hole is. And that's what happens when you leave a job or this earth.
Well, I think that the Bush administration is giving him is giving themselves a hell of a lot more credit than they are due. What did we say last week? I think you called into Fourth Estate Radio. One of the things that we talked about was the fact that there were probably 50 guys lined up right behind him who would die for the chance.
At least 19. I mean, you know, this is fast track promotion in Al Qaeda for these guys. You know, and plus they're like a hydra. When you cut one's head off, three grows to replace it. And with Bush over there, I mean, they had a car bomb blow up a few minutes ago, killed two people. I mean, you know, I don't understand it. You know, I don't know. Once I'm nailing a nail and I happen to miss and hit my thumb, I try not to do that again because it doesn't feel too good. But and these people just don't seem to want to learn. I don't know what the problem with them is.
Well, I think the deal is that they want to preserve a certain amount of chaos over there because having a certain amount of chaos serves the military-industrial complex very well, doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, basically, number one, you've got a military that can be very unfeeling, particularly when it comes to things like post-traumatic stress syndrome, things like this. They don't want to recognize that.
Did you listen to my interviews, two shows yesterday and Monday, Jim?
No, I didn't. I was otherwise occupied, but I wish I had it. But, I mean,
well,
you know, these wars do give them, I mean, the military's corporation, Bruce, I know. I mean, you know, and you don't get into corporation ranks and get on the fast track to promotion unless you're in the hot seat. So, you know, you got to do your time in a theater of some type of operations. You know, that's just the way it works. And so, I mean, but the pitiful thing about it is that only serves just the top echelons of the organization, you know. The grunts who have to go over there, and you got 17-year-old boys over there, and I was just thinking about this. I mean, some of these guys have never even known a woman. You know what I'm saying? And yet they're over there, and they're having to deal with this. This is no way for a young man to have to live the first part of his, the best part of his life.
These old farts who
start this stuff, let them go over there and fight the friggin' war, and let the young man live his life.
I had a couple of interviews Monday and Tuesday with two freshly returned Iraq War veterans. And we had two fantastic conversations with these guys, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, where they talked about what, you know, I specifically pinpointed a number of things in each interview. One of them actually was the interview I did on Tuesday, Jim, the gentleman actually, the soldier, served in Abu Ghraib at the same time the scandal went down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he had really interesting stories to tell about Charles Grainer and Lindy England. But,
oh, God.
Just that Charles Grainer was out of control completely.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Just,
and, of course,
you know,
Lindy England, oh, God. Mm. Talk about throwing a flag overhead and taking them for old glory. That's what they must have done.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wasn't going to go there, but...
Well, just so eat up. She's just eating with the ugliness. I mean, somebody just whooped up on her with an ugly stick. My God in heaven. But anyway, that's beside the point. I hope they're busting rocks at Levin Rock. At Levin worth.
Well,
trouble is.
I think Grainer... He told me Grainer got 10 years. Lindy England got 8, like 1 year, I think. But,
really? But the trouble is with that, they just got the grunts. They didn't get the people in the echelons of the higher command who knew what was going on.
And therein lies
the Major General of the Reserves, that Janice, what was her name, the one who looked like a man? Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And I think therein lies the problem, Jim, is that, you know, I guess, and probably in the history of the military, you probably would know this more than me, that it's always, you know, it's the grunts that take the heat.
That's it, and they're going to try to make a scapegoat out of somebody who is really incapable of defending themselves, where at the same point, they're going to defend the so-called officer corps or the honor related thereto. And from what I can see, there's not a whole lot of that left, you know? These are basically,
it doesn't seem to be.
These are basically, you know, I'm not trying to point fingers, but it seems to me that there's a lot of careerism at the expense and blood of a lot of innocent people. And I don't like that. As I told Bob the other night, I hate waste. And the prodigy that's been wasted, in addition to the blood and treasure, that is what kills me. I mean, when I see these guys come back and they have these artificial prostheses and things like that, they should be whole and healthy. They shouldn't be worrying about memories of shells exploding and having to shoot children or whatever. I mean, this just isn't right. I said, let the old men who want to start this thing, let Cheney and Bush go over there and put on desert camos with a load-bearing equipment and shoulder a rifle and get over there. And, you know, we'll see how quickly this thing would come to an end if they had to go over there.
I know it.
You know?
I think that, you know, again, the first interview I did Monday, the guy was a medic, and you know, he had seen guys, you know, come, he had to address gunshot wounds and had a member of his unit, you know, get blown to bits. And, you know, and we talked about some of those things and how it affected him. And, you know, I certainly hope that at some point real soon we get those archives up, because I want to go back and listen to those two interviews in particular. You know, the first interview that I did with the first Iraq War veteran, one of the things that he said was that he correlated. This is how he put it. He correlated. He said, you know, he said, we were over there and we were giving out soccer balls and we were giving out things to families and food and helping to preserve, you know, peace in their neighborhoods. And those folks, he goes, interestingly enough, our unit never got hit with an IED. However, he says, There were some other units that didn't treat some of the locals as well, and they would get hit all the time. And I said, so what you're telling me is that the so-called insurgency really doesn't exist. What you're saying to me is that these are the normal citizens of Iraq who are fed up with being occupied by a foreign power, who are taking matters into their own hands to try to drive them out. He shrugged his shoulders at me. He goes, well, I guess you could say that, yes.
Well, you know, it really doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, you know, if you treat somebody decently, they're going to in turn probably treat you decently, and vice versa. And, you know.
Jim, I hear some music. Hang on, and we'll come right back to you after the break, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
In society where there's diversity, we all learn from each other in the sense of understanding each other's beliefs and cultures in society, respecting that.
When you meet people who are different from you, the biggest thing you can do is learn from them.
There's a long way to go for disabled people to feel part of a larger community, and I'm starting to feel like I'm included, especially in the university setting.
I don't put the responsibility completely to other people, but I think I had a responsibility to feel included. That's what has made me a difference in my life.
A little niceness can go a long way, one life at a time, one person at a time. We will make a difference.
We were studying Martin Luther King Jr., and one of his quotes was, "We must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or perish together as fools."
Together, I know we will make a difference.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Psst. Hey, Ben, where are we?
What, are you born yesterday? We're at the doctor's office.
I'm sick? Already? Oh, break it to me, Ben. What have I got?
Kid, relax. We're here for our second newborn screening.
A newborn screening? What's that?
You see, we got tested for these rare diseases when we are first born. But sometimes they don't show up till we're older. So you gotta get the second test between 7 and 14 days.
Diseases? I feel sick. Oh, I better got something in the nursery. Remember that kid who screamed all the time?
Breathe, lady. This test is for treatable stuff. If anything is wrong, now's the time to find out.
I heard even healthy-looking kids can have something deadly, Ben.
That's why every baby's gotta go back for his second screening.
So, with the second heel stick, you think my chances are good?
Heel stick? What heel stick? Nobody told me nothing about a heel stick.
Oh, brother!
For information on this newborn screening program, call the Tech Department of Health.
You're back on the Bruce Burke radio program. We were going, when we went off to the break there, I had to put Jim on hold, and we were talking about the Zarqawi mess, the whole Iraq debacle. Iraqle. We'll call it the Iraqle. How about
that? That's pretty good, Bruce. That's very good. You get an A for that one. Iraqle. That's very good. Your mind is very quick and nimble today.
Well, it is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, man. I'm wide open, dude.
Well, I mean, you know, 5 o'clock, that's cocktail hour.
You're used to listening to me, you know, in the middle of the freaking night almost.
Well, you know, what can I say? I hear lots of voices in the night, but don't tell anybody because they'd be storming the castle. But, you know, getting back to this war and stuff, I mean, I realized from a young age, very young age, what Vietnam did to my generation. And I saw what it did to so many people. I mean, I don't have any college classmates at the Citadel. All of them were killed in Tet. Ten boys in 1 month in 68. And I just wondered for what. Because 7 years later, there we were leaving with our butts kicked on top of the American embassy. You know? What did it accomplish?
Right.
Nothing. There's no substitute for victory. And as far as the military is concerned, I realize we have a job to do. I mean, like I said, I speak N16 real good, just real good. But, you know, it's a language I don't particularly use, I like to use. But the thing that really pisses me off, it's always an old man's war, but it's a young man's fight, and it ought to be the other way around.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
And, you know, I mean, when you see movies like All Quiet on the Western Front, that's a classic right there. I mean, when you see exactly... you know, these wars are so important at the time which they're fought, but 10 years later, people don't remember what the hell they were about. And all you have are just gardens of stone.
Ask a question. Did you happen to catch any of the Condoleezza Rice thing at the Southern Baptist Convention this morning, Jim?
I couldn't handle that. I don't have enough Paragard. No, they don't put that anymore. I don't have enough Imitrol to be able to get through that without being in the toilet resting to hear that.
Well, one of the things that she did...
Every time I see that woman, I tell you one thing, it just gives me a case of something that I don't want to talk about. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that she did was she talked about, you know, she correlated, I should say, that, you know, she tried to relate religious, the practice of the free practice of religious thought and action to what we were doing in Iraq. I mean, basically, she was saying along the lines of, you know, we were there to preserve their right to practice their faith.
What?
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Condi. The Baptists
and
say that the Muslims are going to hell.
Huh? excuse me. Did I just hear what I thought I heard? Would you repeat that, please?
Yes, I did. I said the Baptists believe that the Muslims are going to hell. Do they not?
I believe they think everybody's going to hell but them. I mean, you know, that's where they talk, and they're the biggest hypocrites in the world. I mean, for example, Greenville County in South Carolina has more Baptists probably than any county in the state, but yet their per capita consumption of liquor is the highest, it's higher than Charleston, which is the city of South Carolina. You know, these people are just so convoluted in their thinking, and they are so hypocritical. I mean,
they
all those other evil things and dance around maypoles.
They did pass a rule today there at the convention that basically said that pastors who imbibe or who allow alcohol to touch their lips cannot serve in leadership positions in the Southern Baptist Convention.
Well, I hate to say it, they just lost their whole cadre and chain of command. Because, I mean, what is this? What are they trying to do? Are they going to dig up Carrie Nation and have her run around with a hatchet?
They're going to have these pocket held breathalyzer machines. I think.
When it comes to alcohol was the greatest friend people like Al Capone ever had. Because when they outlawed it, they made the mafia what it is or was until a few years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when it really became big organized crime, was when they passed the Volstead Act back, when was it, 1921? And the experiment failed miserably.
18, yeah.
And it created more crime than it ever eliminated. You know, you just can't legislate morality, and that's what these people try to do, and that's what kills me about them, you know?
Yeah.
You can't do it.
I totally agree. It's really gotten to a point with a lot of the, I don't want to say it's gotten to a point. That organization truly, I mean, I'm going to use the word because when I looked up the definition, it fit them perfectly. Truly bigoted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Truly bigoted organization.
I mean, you know, nobody's going to heaven except them. That's it. That's where they feel. And if you don't believe exactly the way they do and do exactly what they say, I mean, these people are so doctrinaire and so hidebound by the confines of their own doctrine that they are the biggest hypocrites in the world. They really are, in my opinion. And Condoleezza said, we're over there. And how does she tie it in with them? She said we were over there to promote freedom of religion.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a new one. I'd like for her to understand. I would like to hear an explanation of how that works. Did she explain how?
Well, no, she didn't really. But I mean, it was just the way she put it was a very hedged way of putting it. But of course, because she said the word faith, everybody stood up and applauded. You know. I mean, yeah, it truly is. And then she turned around and compared some others, talked about the war on terror and Zarqawi and at the Southern Baptist Convention. And of course, when she talked about the United States killing Czar Colley, the Southern Baptist Convention being the peace-loving and progressive crowd that it was, got on its feet and gave her a standing ovation for the fact that we took out Czar Colley with 1,000 pounds of explosives that didn't blow him apart. So.
You know, that just, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just wired differently, because I just don't think like that. And I never have, and I never will, I hope to God. But as far as I'm concerned, and I'll get off your show, you got other people want to talk, I know you got other topics you want to cover. I just can't see much difference between George Bush and Czar Colley.
Well, there is one major difference right now. One's dead and one isn't, but...
That's about it. And my 8-year-old mother told me that last week. She said, hell, what's the difference between Bush and Czar Colley? They're both murderers. And when you hear that coming from a lady who's 86 years old, who lived through World War II, and, you know, who knew the anxiety of a knock at the door or a telegram from the War Department, then as it was called, I guess it gives you a certain mindset and view of the world that is unique to what Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation.
Right. Well, Jim, we got to wrap this up because we're heading to the top of the hour. But I do want to thank you for your phone call and getting in on the program today.
Well,
man.
Thank you for letting me get on there and derail your show, because I know sometimes I'm sort of a time bomb on there, but I don't mean to be.
No, it was a great conversation, man.
All right, man, out here.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, that's Jim, our good friend Jim, giving us a great conversation from the wild, wonderful mountains of West Virginia, up there somewhere.
That's right.
Thanks, man. Okay, and you're listening to the Bruce Burris radio program. You, too, can be a part of the conversation. Free speech isn't free unless you pick up the phone and avail yourself of it. We'll even pick up the dime. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Bruce at Bruce Burch is the email. Head On Radio Network is the network. I'll be right back.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic. Mm.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Violence in Iraq will never be completely eliminated, but he said progress is being made through security crackdowns and new counterterrorism intelligence. He reiterated that bringing American troops home too soon will ultimately make the world a more dangerous place. President Bush also said he'd like to close Guantanamo Bay, but officials first need to figure out where else to house the detainees. He admitted that the prison has damaged the U.S. image abroad. Yesterday, Pentagon officials agreed to make all of the military's interrogation techniques available to the public. Across Afghanistan, 30 people have died in fierce battles. The U.S.-led coalition is gearing up to launch its largest offensive with 11,000 troops since the fall of the Taliban in 2001. In Iraq today, tens of thousands of Iraqi police and soldiers are searching cars and securing roads as part of a major security crackdown. Still, 4 civilians were killed and 6 wounded today in a car bombing. The Health and Human Services Secretary has reportedly been using a jet meant for emergencies for personal use. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has been leasing the jet for more than $700,000 since January. More than $1.4 billion of hurricane relief money has been used fraudulently. That's according to the Government Accounting Office, which says taxpayer money was used to pay for everything from season football tickets to a sex change operation. In Washington, the American Civil Liberties Union has sued the Defense Department. The group says the agency has been collecting information on anti-war groups and citizens and putting it in a database used to track anti-war activists. In Washington, congressional testimony today revealed that sensitive information at the Veterans Administration is still at risk. An agency official says security remains lax and employees with access to private information are not monitored. In New York, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani says the nation lacks an energy policy. He said greater reliance on nuclear power, ethanol-based fuels, and hybrid vehicles is more realistic than breaking ties with foreign energy sources. The American Medical Association says new drugs and medical devices should not be advertised to consumers until their safety can be proven. You're listening to the Quality News Network. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The House Appropriations Committee has voted to raise the federal minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour. However, it's not expected to pass. House lawmakers have given themselves a $3,300 a year raise. A congressional salary will now be $168,500. Consumer inflation was up in May, largely due to higher gasoline prices. The Labor Department reports that the Consumer Price Index rose 0.4%. A Federal Reserve survey on the country's business climate shows that the economy is slowing. Inflation and rising costs for energy and other materials remain concerns. In Annapolis, a historic inn dating back to 1780, where George Washington once reportedly stayed, is getting a Starbucks. A historic preservation committee okayed the plans for the Maryland Inn. Honda is recalling more than 500,000 minivans. The company says the faulty part used in starting the engine needs to be replaced. The recall involves models from 1994 to 1997. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is financing a new website that will investigate stock fraud and corporate wrongdoing. He says he'll buy and sell stocks based on information before the site publishes it. Light Sweet Crude settled at $69.14 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 111 points, NASDAQ up 14, S&P 500 up 6. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Back on with you. It's about 5 minutes, 6 minutes now after the hour, and you're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. and also by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and by supporting our programming, they're helping us to take back America from those morons, those repugnant, Okay, I'm not going to get wound up. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Was that a schizophrenic episode? Anyway, if you want to get in on the program, you can do that. That's right. You can call 1-877-443-2366. That'll get you right into the studios there in wild, wonderful West Virginia, where Bob will handle your call. And you can also email me. I'm checking it every break. Bruce@BruceBirch.com. Now, I also want to push another thing, a couple things I want to do before I go back over to the phones. First thing is I want to mention again the White Rose Society fundraiser that's going on over there with Ben Birch. Really would like for you to go ahead and check it out, and give him a donation. He runs a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful setup over there, and he didn't go out begging. He just says, hey, you know, it's time for our fundraiser again to keep the computers running and to keep the archives hot, and so that you can go and download them when you please. So if you avail yourself of that service, please do go over there and drop a few bucks for him. He could definitely use it. Second thing is, what was the second thing? If you want to go check out my new website, I strongly encourage you to do that also. BruceBirch.com. Go check it out. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now. Our good friend Luke is on line 87. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better, as they say.
Well, I think.
What's on your mind?
Just medicate heavily, and we'll go as we can. You know how it is. Did you see the thing? I tell you the way I think they're going to get back into this thing was this thing. Did you see the thing about the VA data, where they're talking about the fact that even after they lost the 26,000 names, 26.5 million, that they still haven't improved it, the security. I saw this thing where they were talking about it. Said that they'd received like 5 years of warnings, and then now even after the guy had lost the laptop, but apparently they still haven't upgraded their security.
Well, I guess they want to lose more information then, don't they?
Lost everything they could. But I tell you what, this is one of them ones where you hope they'll get people coming on. This is sort of like the back door into the war. Those that don't want to really jump on the war. They can go after it going, you know, here's how the Bush administration is mistreating our veterans who are over there risking their lives.
And it's my understanding, too, Luke, that it wasn't just veterans that data was lost. Actually, there was active duty personnel who had their...
Then they discovered it was apparently the active duties, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the GAO says today what?
Well, they were talking about the fact that essentially it's like, you know, they've been warning them for the past 4 or 5 years, and apparently they've done nothing essentially to upgrade their security or, you know, nothing. You know, they said that they should be held accountable for lack of security. Said there need to be consequences.
Well, Luke, I can't help but think, Luke, that this is just sort of like another cog in this privatization of government. And the reason why I say that is because this current administration would like to see nothing more than people turn away from government.
Oh yeah.
And here's a perfect way of doing that. Hey, look, you're a veteran. You go to the VA. You avail yourself of your services that are there just for you because you served and you gave of your time and almost gave all for this country. I'll tell you what we'll do. Since it costs so much for your high blood pressure medication, you guys who are World War II veterans, we'll give out your Social Security card and put it out there on the chopping block for everybody to go ahead and take it and do identity theft and then we'll see if you'll come back to the VA. I bet you those people won't.
But I tell you what, the thing is, I think this is where you really push mismanagement. Did you see the other story that I saw recently or the last day or so? Isn't it amazing? Did you know Congress just gave themselves a pay raise?
Yeah. And well, the way I understood that actually is that there is a permanent pay raise that goes every year unless they vote against it.
But that's the thing. It's like, guys, we're at war. Shouldn't you be voting against it?
I think it's 3.5%, and it's $3,000, $3,300 or something. $3,300, yeah. Isn't that something?
type.
Well, I'd like to vote myself a pay raise. I wonder. Let's see. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a vote of one and hand that over to my boss and see what he says about it.
It, you know, it's just amazing. That's like I say, that's where I think you get after them more than anything else, is get after them on mismanagement and malfeasance. You know what I mean? Just show the way they've screwed it up over the year, over these last 4 years. You know, show the way the money's been wasted. You know,
it's like, been shoveled away. I mean, they may as well have taken bricks of it and put it on fire.
Well, you know, when they went over into Iraq, and you know, they found that one or two houses where they had the big, you know, those big old bundles of just cash. I wonder if that was actually them taking it out or putting it in.
It's a good question.
Because I mean, I'm just wondering. You got to think somewhere around somebody's got an 18-wheeler just loaded with bundles of cash. Probably just driving around the country, not even know what he's carrying.
Well, you know, they shipped like pallets of like how much money was it? Like
about
a couple hundred
billion.
$7 or $8 billion he sent to Iraq.
So where they could pay off, or as we say, pay off, as they would say, pay in money, you know, something that they could put in their hands.
Yeah, pay contractors. They say, well, we're paying our contractors. It just so happens that their contractors, you know, dude, these guys have made what the mob did look like playground games.
It's like, say, one thing, and I don't. The only good part of it, I don't know, well, maybe not a good part. I don't know how they'll, I'm sure they'll figure it out with somebody to try to rig it. But if we ever get back control, the first thing I want to do is I'd like to just have a nice little look at Halliburton's books.
Yeah, me too. I did an interview. Did you listen to any of the show from D.C., Luke?
I've got to listen to little bits of it. I've been meaning to go back over to White Rose and pick it up on the archive.
I'm not sure if it's there on the archive yet. I'm going to talk to Ben about that after the show and see what the deal is with it. I know that he did archive it. I don't think it's posted yet. But as soon as he does, I will put a post on my website at brucebirch.com to let you know where you can go pick it up.
Okay.
But one of the interviews I did yesterday was with a gentleman, Greg Speeder, of the Priority Project, National Priorities Project.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talked about yesterday was the fact that it takes $330 million to build a jet that is now obsolete that they don't even use anymore. And they're still building these jets.
I know. Well, I mean, you know, it's like these things when they build the like the aircraft carriers and some of the boats, the ships they're building. By the time, you know, when they start them, fine. But by the time they're done, they've already bypassed it. You know, we don't need that one anymore. You know, that's about the time you're rolling it down into the water. I mean, it's the same thing with planes. You know, they were buying some like those, the Mirages and some of those. They were buying those things, the F-21s and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're already three generations past that now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that there's a lot of, apparently what he's saying is that there's a lot of equipment that they have been, that was commissioned to be built during the Cold War, and that it just, you know, there's no need for it now, mainly because the shift in the focus of defense in our nation has changed from the Cold War mentality of the, you know, the super secret high technology espionage that they were doing then to an entirely different kind of espionage now. You know, and times have changed. And I think that they absolutely, you know, we need to be aware of that. What kills me, Luke, is that $330 million is one-third of HUD's budget to fund homelessness programs.
I know.
So three jets would equal the entire budget that they've spent on homelessness programs in the U.S.
And when, it's like I say, when you sit down and like I say, when you compare, you know, what this cost and what they've spent already on some of this, and you're going like, and you're not even using the stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff is like, say, they build this stuff, and then you see these stories a couple of years later about, well, we got these engines sitting out in these airplane graveyards that are covered with tarps that have never been put in, you know, things like. You know, where they have jet engines that were brand new, have never been used, and essentially just mothballed.
It's damned.
Somebody like Henry Waxman or David Obey, you know, on the Democratic side, they need to be, you know, standing up waving. You know, look at this. You know, see where your money is gone. Away.
Well, and in deference to them, they have. Waxman has been gathering data the entire time that he's been in office, and I think. You know, I think what we're going to see, here's what we're going to see. If we see the House go over to the Democratic side this fall, which I certainly hope, and I think it's entirely possible, You know, if we see the House go over to the Democratic side this fall, we're going to see hearings like you would not believe. We're going to see hearings upon hearings upon. There's going to be so many damned hearings that the press will have to, you know, like flip a coin to figure out which one to go to.
Well, you know, but it's like I said when I started. I think the veterans issue is an issue that the other side can't make you shut up about. You know, it's one of those ones where you can push that and you can push that as far as you can. Where, you know, I mean, when you're talking about veterans and all these things, you know, like this thing with the lack of security at the Veterans Administration, and you're sitting there going, well, why haven't you fired anybody over there? You know, anybody of consequence? You know, I mean, why does Jim Nicholson still have his job? I mean, that's something where I think you can hit the Republicans someplace where they can't just all of a sudden say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, and that's the other part of that too, is that in this government presently, you know, the more you are, the more criminal you are, the better off you are.
I know.
Luke, we gotta take a break, buddy.
All right, bud. Have a good time. I'll talk at you sometime down the road.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, man.
All right. Bye.
All right. See you soon. And you're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. My name is Bruce Birch, and you can get in on the show by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to high school.
It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't. Ha, 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if his fate was real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues, like violence. Please, talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. This is Bruce Birch, and it's what a wonderful day it is. It's Wednesday, June the 14th. I believe today is Flag Day, and actually in D.C., if I were still up there, I probably would right now be marching or would have just finished up marching from the Take Back America conference down to the White House with a procession honoring the 2,500 dead in Iraq. Really is a tragic situation, as I told my good friend Jim earlier, an Iraqal, if you will. Now, I do want to, did want to mention something that just came across my desk, my email account, or my, you know, if you actually, you know, let me just tell you, if you want to shoot me an article, or if there's something you want me to mention on air, just email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll take a look at it, see if it's if I can get it in. If I can, I will. If you also go to the chat room at headonradionetwork.com, you can also send me you know, a private message there to give me a link or a website that you want me to check out. And actually, I just got one of those just now. And apparently Congress is considering preempting laws in 17 states that would allow anyone to, you know, laws that are already on the books that allow anyone to freeze their own credit. And the new law that they are considering would restrict that privilege to ID theft victims. Under the bill, backed, of course, by the financial services industry, simply having your data lost or stolen isn't enough. You must file a police report describing a specific instance of it being used to commit a crime. So essentially, the 26.5 million, that's a lot, of, that's six zeros, 26.5 million people, soldiers, who lost their data, if this passes, will not be able to freeze their credit. Now, freezing their credit also keeps it cuts off access to your credit history, since most banks and merchants insist on seeing a credit report before issuing credit. Identity thieves can't open bogus accounts using ill-gotten data. Okay, so it's basically a protection. It's in 17 states around the country. It's a protection, and in light of the fact that 26.5 million veterans have lost their data, you would think that the Congress would be sympathetic to that and would actually be issuing a law or writing a law that would say this law that says that you can freeze your own credit needs to go out, needs to be a federal law, and it needs to be nationwide, so that any one of these veterans and anyone else who thinks that they may, you know, they have really good credit and they don't want to run into the problem of having it stolen or misused, can put a lock on their credit history, a freeze, if you will. And Washington State Attorney General Rob McKenna says, quote, "It's like telling someone you can't put a deadbolt on your front door until after you've been burglarized," end quote. But Representative Stephen LaTourette, a rising star in Ohio Republican politics, and he's a Republican out of Ohio, the bill's co-author, he says that credit freezes must be held in check to keep the financial system from unraveling. I wasn't aware that it was that it was frayed, but I suppose it must be frayed, and it's afraid of it's afraid of not making enough freaking profit is what it's afraid of. He says, quote, "Even the simplest process of buying groceries with your credit or debit card will break down if we allow a patchwork of competing and conflicting state laws," he says. Oh, my God. All right. Have I told you that, you know, I'm not going to co-opt Mike Malloy's saying about telling you how much I hate these people, although there's a certain amount of a big part of me that does. Have I told you today how much I think these people are full of crap? All right. Well, they are. Very much. Now, did want to get back to you about the whole Baptist convention thing, and I think we'll do that after our break. We do have a break coming up in about a minute. But I wanted to bring that to your attention. I really think that, you know, we got to keep an eye on these people because, first of all, they limited the ability to declare bankruptcy no matter what. I mean, you know, these people, they would rather see you in a homeless shelter than they would see you, you know, rebuilding your life. Oh, but if you're an airline industry company, you can declare bankruptcy multiple times and they'll help you get your stuff back together. Or an auto company. But if you're an individual and you spend all your life working for the auto company and your wife gets cancer and you spend $400,000 treating cancer because she didn't have insurance and you lose your house and your car and everything you've built all your life, you can't declare bankruptcy because you're an individual. That's crazy. All right. You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program. My name is Bruce Birch. If you want to get in on the show, you can call 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Editor of the Progressive Magazine with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website over at progressive.org. George Bush has had one success in office. He succeeded in tarnishing the U.S. image abroad. A new study by the Pew Global Attitudes Project shows a distressing decline over the last 6 years. The favorability ratings of the U.S. fell in Indonesia, the most populous Muslim country in the world, from 75% to 30%, in Turkey from 52% to 12%, and we give Turkey a ton of aid. In Egypt, another Muslim country that gets a lot of U.S. aid, only 30% approve of George Bush's America. In Jordan, only 15%. Even our allies in what Donald Rumsfeld so callously called old Europe have begun to shun us. Our rating in Great Britain fell from 83% to 56%. In France, from 62% to 39%, in Germany from 78% all the way down to 37%, and in Spain it fell from 50% to less than half, 23%. So if you're planning on going to Europe or the Middle East this summer, don't expect to be greeted warmly, and you can blame your chilly reception on George Bush and on his Iraq war and on his arrogant attitude and his disdain for international law. No one likes a bully. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided they can't do with it, that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program. My name is Bruce Birch, and I am your host. If you want to call me, you can do so. This is Conversation Radio for a Free America, and it's free because we're paying the dime on the call. So 1-877-443-2366 is the number. We're going to go ahead back to the telephones and our good friend Peter from Tallahassee. Peter, how you doing, man?
Hey, Bruce, congratulations on the new show, dude.
Well, thank you very much, sir. You having a good time with it so far?
I am. I'm thrilled to hear you on during the day before the chickens have gone to sleep, and it's just so nice to have you on during a reasonable hour, dude. I can't cuss because you keep me up all night anymore.
Well, you can listen to the archive anytime you want, man, and keep you up all night. If you feel lonely at 10 o'clock on Sunday, you can always just run another an old version of All Things Reconsidered there.
I may have to do that. In the chat room, there were people screaming, "Well, what am I supposed to do on a Sunday night?" I was so thrilled to hear that you were going to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention taking place in your home state there in North Carolina. You haven't had a chance to really get into it. I hope you get into it more during the rest of the hour because it's a subject that, you know, I'm very interested in and probably others too. So I won't keep you a long time, but I wanted to bring up something I came across today that one of the folks that's addressed the Southern Baptist Convention's name is Donald Wilton. In any case, he had made a statement that is surprising on its face, but not surprising when you examine it. And he says, and I quote, "I'm going to submit to you that as believers of Jesus Christ, we are not even of America. We march according to a different drumbeat. Ours is not the Constitution of America. Ours is the Constitution of the Almighty God." You know, shocking on the surface for it even borders on sedition. But when you think about the roots of the Southern Baptist Church, they've been denying the Constitution since its inception. You know, they originally split off because they objected to the constitutional amendment that forbade slavery. And, you know, so these people are continuing to do that. You know, what starts out as an evil, lie-ridden organization, it continues. They're still denying the Constitution. So that's what it's all about. They really do want to take over the Constitution and write it for us, because as everybody knows, there's no Constitution of the Almighty God. It just doesn't exist. But I think that they'll be glad to write it for us.
Well, you know, it's damned unfortunate, because I think that you know, they're just such loving people.
Ain't that the truth? You know, you were talking earlier about proselytizing and when people needed food or needed some sort of assistance. You know, that's done in Tallahassee here at one of the, well, if I had the largest Baptist church. Should someone go there to try to get food from their food bank, you can't just walk in and get food from the food bank. No, you have to schedule an appointment with the pastor to talk about your spiritual life before you're allowed into the food bank. So it's, you know, this. You know, I can see where they're coming from, but that's just that's not the right way to treat people who are in crisis. But you know, their problem is, and he makes reference to this in the article too, is that Baptists have to be careful to adhere to God's commands, and because if they don't keep doing this, that there'll be a lack of a new generation of believers. Now, if you look at that, what they're really saying, of course, is a lack of a new generation of ignorant heathens. It's very important for them to continue beating this into people, because the entire Southern Baptist Church survives on ignorance. That's how they do it.
In reality, you know, here's the other part of this too, is that I was reading this thing, is that there's 18,000 of them here.
Oh my God.
18,000. And you know how many people attended their African American focus meeting or whatever?
Who are
150.
Is that a fact? Yeah.
Out of 18,000.
It really shows, doesn't it?
That says a lot. I think that's saying a lot.
Yes, it does. This stuff, the ignorance works in their favor, just like suppressing the vote keeps the Republicans in power, and they'll go to any lengths to do that. The Southern Baptists will go to any lengths to suppress knowledge of what the actual message of Jesus Christ was, and it just never, you know, what starts out bad ends bad, and then that's what's going on now with these people. It's just amazing to me. So, you know, they said it right there in front of God and everybody, you know, we're not part of America, we're not bound by the Constitution, ours is not the Constitution. So you know, wake up, folks. This is where the seditionists are. It ain't us.
Well, and it's actually absolutely, you know, I just it really blows my mind. Now, there are plenty of Christian organizations out there that do a lot of good work and don't proselytize and don't, you know, try to shove religion down people's throat and just in order to help them. And for those organizations that do that because they believe that that is their charge to help mankind, you're doing great jobs. Good on you, and keep it up.
Absolutely.
But to those who would use an opportunity to exploit someone because they feel like the greater aim is to save their soul while that person's standing there starving, that's totally repugnant to me. I mean, I just cannot. To me, that is just like the nastiest, meanest thing you could do to someone.
Absolutely. And I would submit to you too that regarding things like fair labor practices and unions and people getting a fair shake in this country, there's basically no doubt in my mind they'd stand up against that too, saying that there weren't unions in the Bible and that, you know, we should just rely on Jesus and never, you know, pool our power, so to speak, to try to get a fair shake in this country. It's all
praise
about suppression.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah, praise Jesus. Anyway, dude, I'm so glad
Jesus,
you're on.
Jesus wouldn't like the way you're talking, man.
Well, you know, in fact, I think he'd be kicking brown white with me.
I think, really. You know, but based on all the stuff, and you know, what I would love to do, Peter, is get you on one day and let's talk about the passages in the Bible known as the Beatitudes.
Oh, no, wouldn't that be interesting? That's so rarely discussed anymore. Boy, that's a damn secret.
It is, because in those wonderful passages, it's revealed that Jesus probably thought more like a liberal than any Republican ever thought.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And, you know, the whole idea of all of that stuff. And maybe we'll do that sometime real soon. We'll do an anti-religion, pro-spiritual show.
Well, you know, that'd be fun. I'm always, whenever I call and it's about religion, I'm usually just screaming and ranting because something has really rubbed me the wrong way. I've never really sat and talked with you about some of the things that you just brought up. That's a great idea. I'd love to.
Well, we're going to have plenty of time to fill every week now, so.
Okay, you have been warned.
You have been warned. Well, you know, and I think, you know, but I do appreciate you calling in, and I think that, you know, one of the things we're going to try to do with this program is to delve into things a little bit deeper in some areas. Instead of, you know, because everybody, you know, and my good friend Bob Kincaid and Guy James, they all, you know, they cover some of the news of the day, and they do a wonderful, wonderful job at it. You know, there are some things, while I have my own take on the news of the day a lot of times, I think that sometimes taking that chance and that opportunity to really dig a little bit deeper in some of these subjects and really try to examine them for what they really are. It blew my mind when I realized that the Southern Baptist Convention split off because of racism. I didn't know that.
Yes, that's exactly the reason they exist today. And did they ever issue a formal apology? It seems to me that at some point there was some sort of muted... it wasn't covered at all. Mumbling of an apology from the Baptist Church, the Southern Baptist Church, to the black community. Or there was a huge controversy that they wouldn't. I think they finally did mumble some sort of apology. And I got news for them. They're going to be ending up apologizing again. They're going to have to apologize to the gay folk, and they're going to apologize to the brown folk, and they're going to have to apologize to a lot of other folks around. And it'll be mumbled, and they'll, you know, keep doing the same thing. But, you know, these people, I mean, wake up. Wake up. It's not going to fly anymore. We've got the internet.
It isn't. But, you know, the other part of that, too, is that, you know, I really do believe, and I'm going to co-opt something that Michael the Wiener Savage, or the Savage Wiener, or whatever he is, said. He said that he believed that liberalism was a mental disorder. Well, I really am beginning to think that it's actually the opposite way, in that, you know, hate and xenophobia and racism is actually more indicative of mental disorder than love and acceptance and faith and tolerance. Wouldn't you agree?
I have to completely agree. And you know, there's been some studies recently about the behavior of children who later turn out to be staunch conservatives / Republicans, about their paranoid "he's picking on me" tattletale type mentality when they're when they're small children, that, you know, they've tracked these people from when they were small and linked that behavior, that early behavior. You know, I'm not advocating that we drown those kids in the bathtub. But I am advocating we just need to do some sort of intervention early on.
We need to at least hose them down. Yeah.
You know, oh, Lord, we've got some work to do.
Yes, we do. That's why we're calling. That's why when you hear the promo or the opening of this show, it's the, you know, roll up your sleeves because the work has just begun. And as far as I'm concerned, the work is changing the conversation. The work is creating a new paradigm where it's safe to believe what you want to believe, and you don't have to worry about, you know, these right-wing redneck, you know, donkey heads, you know, out there trying to push their agenda on us. Well, we don't have to worry about fear of retribution from these folks.
Thank you, Bruce. Amen. So, I completely agree, brother. So go tell them the mountain, dude. You've got a mountain now. Stout from it. I want to hear you.
Well, we're going to do it, and I know you'll do your best to tune in. Now, you know, we are on 5 to 7 now, Peter, so you're going to have to leave work early.
I know. I've got to completely redo my whole life. I mean, you know. Oh, God. Oh, I'll figure it out. I'll let the dog help. So anyway.
There you go.
I'll look forward to the rest of the show, and thank you so much for addressing this issue.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's an issue that's important to my listeners, and so I feel like it's important to get it on. So thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Okay,
bye.
You too. Bye now. As our good friend Peter from Tallahassee. Peter is a longtime listener and a supporter, strong supporter of this program. He also does the technical and background work for all of our streaming computer stuff. So thank you so much, Peter, for calling in. Thanks for everything that you do to help the Head On Radio Network. We've been talking about the Southern Baptist Convention today, and I've got a quick clip of Condoleezza Rice there at the convention when she was there talking. You know, she talked about a number of things, and I just wanted you to hear the reaction of the crowd that when she talked about Zarqawi getting killed. I want you to hear this clip. If you could go ahead and let's see if Bob has that ready. Bob,
this
you go ahead and run.
This is the fate that our troops delivered last week to the terrorist Zarqawi, and now he will never harm, he will never murder, he will never terrorize innocent people again. That is what America stands for.
That is what America stands for. That's right. We stand for murder and murderers. We stand for killing killers. We stand for blowing people up, and I don't understand how they survive that to be killed by the troops, but that's what we stand for. Bob, run that one more time if you could.
This is the fate that our troops delivered last week to the terrorist Zarqawi, and now he will never harm, he will never murder, he will never terrorize innocent people again. That is what America stands for.
You know, I heard that when I first heard that, the thing that came to my mind was Daniel in the lion's den. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me if you're so inclined, bruce@brucebirch.com. We'll be right back.
Fire! Radioactive! Michael Franti! Legacy and LZ in the place! Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass.
We need to unify, rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs, we heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Dog attacks and dog bites come in all sizes. Think your dog doesn't bite? Don't be so sure. Dog attacks are one of the nation's most commonly reported public health problems. Francia Smith, consumer advocate for the U.S. Postal Service.
With the summer heat and children out of school, the dog bite risk gets worse. But with a little care, dog owners can prevent most attacks and protect themselves, too, from the serious legal, financial, and emotional consequences that often result. Over half the dog bite victims are children. Any dog can bite for the first time, even with the owner there. So whether you are a dog owner or not, please take the time to learn about dog safety. Visit USPS.com and type the words dog bite into the search box for the links you need. You'll be glad you did.
This message is provided as a public service by this station and the U.S. Postal Service.
Think you have driving skills? Take the challenge at DrivingSkillsForLife.com. Earn rewards like free music downloads. Driving Skills for Life.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No, no more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Some prayers never reach the sky. Some wounds never heal. They still say someday the South will rise. Man, I want to see that deal. And I want to grow old gracefully. I don't want to go till it's too late. I'll be some old man in the road somewhere, kneeling down in the dust by the side of the interstate.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program where we all are renegades and been a rebel all our days. That's Warren Zevon. It's a fantastic song. I really enjoy that song. One of those that, you know, I am a southern boy. I don't know that the South will ever rise again, as he said, but we are definitely going to, we're definitely trying to drag the South into the progressive political arena with this radio program, as well as our good friend Bob Kincaid, who will be up next. I'm not sure what Bob's got on his mind tonight, but I'm sure it's going to be something pretty good. He's got a fantastic program. I can't say enough good stuff about Bob Kincaid. Oh, it's prayer meeting night, and what a good night. I just remember that. Well, thank you, Bob. It's prayer meeting night for the Bob Kincaid show, so that'll be interesting to hear that. Hoo boy! Southern Baptist Convention in Greensboro and prayer meeting on Bob Kincaid show. Well, it's Jesus land all around. along those lines, as I was talking this morning or today, you know, also President Bush, the same day that he went to Baghdad, he also addressed the Southern Baptist Convention via video, and he said that he was pleased to join their annual meeting and blah, blah, blah. But he spoke of the appreciation our troops and their families receive from the Southern Baptist community through the ministry of Southern Baptist chaplains and the prayers of those in the Southern Baptist churches. And he said, and I know you share my pride in the brave men and women of our armed forces, Bush told the messengers. He also intimated that Billy Graham had touched his life, and he said, quote, I'm pleased you will be dedicating a statue at this convention to one of your great leaders and to one of America's greatest preachers, Billy Graham, he said. The Reverend Graham once said the most eloquent... Let me just see if I can do the Bush imitation at this point. It's getting kind of late in the program, so I can probably pull it off. The Reverend Graham once said, the most eloquent prayer is a prayer through the hands that heal and bless. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. Emphasizing his support for an amendment to the Constitution to protect marriage because it's under assault. Yes, those stealth gays who are dressed in ninja uniforms are attacking marriage on a daily basis. Bush said, quote, building a strong and compassionate America begins with strengthening the American family. He described the family as the world's oldest institution, and it's built on the foundation of marriage. Okay. And he also said, well, that's why I support a constitutional amendment that will protect marriage and prevent it from being redefined by activist judges. Okay, let's talk about activist judges for a second. Activist judges are the judges. Let's get this straight now, folks. In the Republican dictionary, the activist judge is a judge that is making decisions that Republicans disagree with. Okay? So if the judge makes a decision that the Republicans agree with, he's not an activist judge. He's a strict constitutionalist. Oh, my God, these people crack me up. They make me crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay. Now, the other thing that he was talking about, he said as far as the compassionate, he talked about the war on, you know, the war on infants, he calls it. We're making progress, Bush said. As a president, I've signed the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, and the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, also known as Lacey and Connors Law. I'm opposed to the destruction of the human embryos for stem cell research and refuse to spend taxpayer money on international programs that promote abortion overseas. All right, stretching my neck right now because I feel my back starting to tighten up. The more I talk and the more I read this man's words, it makes me mad. All right. He also says that he's vigorously promoted adoption and teen abstinence. In other words, he's promoted teenagers having babies because he doesn't want them to use birth control. Okay. He says his administration was the first to make unborn children eligible for federal health benefits. And he will continue to work for the day where every child is welcomed in life and protected in law. Well, how about when they're born? How about providing social services for after they're born, you moron? Because these people... these Republicans, all they want to do is see these kids get born. They don't want to see them actually live a decent life. They would rather them live in squalor than let the parents make realistic choices about when to have a freaking family. Boy, he would fit right in with the Southern Baptists. Too bad he's a Methodist. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. It's great to have you with me this afternoon. Listen to this song as we go out, because it's all about changing this country for the better. Remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific. See you then. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took
The workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere